chart I have today for astrology analysis is Aries in the seventh house. Okay. Before I begin reading the chart, I'd like to open by saying that we create everything in our chart that we want to deal with in this lifetime. Okay, this is our blueprint, our life plan. It's not the outside world doing anything to us. So my goal with astrology analysis is self-empowerment and to present knowings to possibilities and probabilities that are occurring in certain ways at any point in our life, because we always have many choices of how we want to use our energies and our thoughts and our feelings, our emotions, our actions, and even our imagination. So we normally always want to try to pick the best choice, right? But this is not always easy. Sometimes because we cannot see the larger picture or even the larger picture in life, of all of life. We do not always know what is best for us. So we find out days, weeks, and months later that maybe that wasn't the best choice that we made, but we did learn something from our choice. That's what's important. So in the astrology analysis, we'll go over the planets, the zodiac sign, and the houses, but simply know that the way I read charts is that the houses are past tense, the zodiac sign are present tense, and the planets are future tense. Okay. The planets represent a potential to accomplish something in a certain area of life. The area of life are the astrological houses, characteristics that we'll talk about. The planets, they actually represent pre-birth intentions. Okay? Before we incarnate, we have pre-birth intentions that we set forth. We create our script that we're going to play out on Earth. And we use houses as pre-birth needs. Okay. The needs, these are going to be difficulties in this life that we want to come in and experience in a human body and hopefully create some balance within our life. The planets actually represent a way to accomplish something that we've started before coming into this life. And we want to work on and maybe try to finish off by the end of our physical life. And we'll go over how the planets reveal clues from previous lifetimes that the energies that we're bringing into this lifetime. So the working with all of this experimental work is to try to get things successful in our life that represents the information and evolution in the course of one lifetime. And from where we entered at birth until we leave at death. With the planet positions, excuse me, we agreed with these specific pre-incarnation intentions to the Lords of Karma or Earth Spirit. Take a drink of water. We created agreements with the Lords of Karma, Earth Spirit, Planetary Logos, God, whatever name we want to use, but we did this so that we can connect with spirit in our own unique vibration to get a physical body. All right, we gave the Lords of Karma certain ideas of what we wanted to work on, We created a plan, we created a pattern to achieve this life. So the planets actually represent multiple energies of which we are composed, and they are energy expressions and forces, right? Which should represent certain qualities. It's important to learn the zodiac signs because then we can define a lot of the repeatable circumstances that will happen in certain areas of our life. The repeatable patterns normally come and are established early in life. So, for example, if there's a repeatable circumstance that will happen in a certain area of life in the first house, which is, I think, what's the first house here? Libra. Okay. I mean, there's a little bit of Virgo, but it's predominantly Libra. And this repeatable pattern will be established from age 0 to 9. I haven't done the math, but and let's just say that there's a repeatable pattern within the personality that's playing out in this life, which could be a character defect of indecisiveness. Okay, that was established in childhood from age 0 to 9. It's running in the background within the subconsciousness. So these repeatable patterns will just continue to play out until we consciously and willfully choose to respond to the circumstances differently. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go through the chart. But with the astrological houses, we will get a general idea of where we come from, where the house sizes give clues. Okay. So a small house, there was not a lot of time and energy that was dedicated to that area of life in previous lifetimes. So a small house is less than 30 degrees. A large house is greater than 30 degrees. A large house, there was more area. That was a more of an area of focus in the other lifetimes. Let me share my screen real quick, show you the chart. Okay. All right. All right, so let's talk about this chart. I'm not going to go over the aspects, the squares, the trines, the oppositions, because I like to build a foundation of knowing the energies of the natal chart that we come in with, the vibration that we carry in this lifetime. And so we don't really need to understand the dynamics of the tug and or the push and pull between the with the relationships of the planets. But I have an image of the aspects here just for the subconscious snapshot. Now, with the ascendant, it's at 29 degrees in 5 minutes, just barely in Virgo, but it still is the ascendant. Virgo is still the ascendant of this chart. Even though the first house is predominantly Libra. So know that the pre-incarnation has, with the ascendant, there's a pre-incarnation set of qualities that you aim to develop, perfect, and radiate to your environment in order to support the evolution of humanity and our unique consciousness. our unique vibration that we carry and that we bring into this oneness of Earth. Okay. And normally the ascendant will most easily be expressed and most comfortable when presenting ourselves. Okay. It's the vehicle, the mask that we use to accomplish what we have chose to focus on in this life. And we'll use this to achieve the balance that is necessary. The relationship with the ascendant and the sun, okay, that's important because here we have self-will and self-image. The self-will and the self-image between the ascendant and the sun, we need this union for the personality to obtain this balance within life that we're looking for. Okay. So we have a Virgo ascendant, and there's a tendency to have a mask of being passive and follow others who are leaders within previous lifetimes. Okay. It's a clue. With it being 29 degrees and almost in Libra, there's probably been a lot of lifetimes where this quality played out, this following others who lead. Whereas with the sun in Aries, okay, on the other side of the chart, that's a clue that's saying that in this lifetime, the sun in Aries is here to help break this cycle and for this individual to arise as a leader, and this may occur in a shocking manner. Aries, right? Sudden burst. So there are strong leadership traits that are buried within your depth of wisdom. Okay, within the subconsciousness. Now, even though just as Virgo is barely the ascendant and is sort of like the sunset of Virgo, well, the same for the descendant. We have Pisces as the descendant. And this probably occurs, there's this need to withdraw from others and have this sense of self to be by yourself, okay? And actually, I'm going to talk about vibrational astrology at the end of this recording. And I've identified this your strongest vibration, which talks about you or to retreating to solitude to sort of charge up this power that is wanting to burst forth in a leadership role. So we'll talk about that. So there is this need to withdraw from others and into yourself. Okay. But Pisces descendant also has this desire to escape from the material world. And this could be in a positive or negative aspect. It could be in a positive aspect where it's bridging spirituality with the spiritual realm with the physical realm. But it also could be the negative influence of like drugs and alcohol and numbing the mind. Okay. Let's see. I want to briefly talk about how I read a chart. In astrology analysis, I like to create the quadrant system. Okay, so we have the ascendant, that's the consciousness of self, the awareness of the being, the mask that we wear. But the first three houses is the first quadrant, and that's the personal development. So as we live our life, the first three houses are important in this aspect. Okay. Nadir is the sort of like the lower realms of the subconsciousness, but it's also the cusp of the second quadrant, which is family development. And the whole bottom half of the chart is the subjective plane. Okay, it's more subconscious and inner world. The descendant is our relationship with others, how we view our relationship with others. It's the consciousness of others and our awareness of these relationships, right? And that's the cusp of the social development for within this lifetime. And also the midheaven, which is the career development. Okay. Or the cusp for the fourth quadrant, which is the career development. Now, let's quickly talk about the midheaven and the nadir because let me go back. We can let me get let me use my zoom pen. Okay. So here we have Gemini and Sagittarius at 28 degrees and 56 minutes. Gemini is the midheaven. Sagittarius is the nadir. This means that there's experimental ways to do things better, right? So this energy is mostly behind many of the choices that are made or intended that you want to make in this lifetime. Okay. Especially the midheaven part of the axis of this relationship. So now the Sagittarius on the subjective plane has this intense need for freedom, right? So there's this, you view self as a type of intellect and philosopher. You make an excellent teacher. You seek to gain and share knowledge in more unconventional ways. Okay, so there's previous lifetimes. There's a clue here from through symbol that in previous lifetimes, you focused on increasing your mental capacity through Gemini study and Sagittarius travels. All right. But also in these previous lifetimes, there was difficulty gaining acceptance as an intellect, which this residual energy may bring forth doubt about your current intellect that you have in this lifetime. So learn perseverance. And it's only 1 degree from exiting Gemini and Sagittarius. All right. And there's a lot of support right here in your third house with the three planets that we'll talk about in detail that are going to propel you forward as this leader, this Sagittarian leader that has a lot of intuitional wisdom buried within the subconsciousness. All right. Okay, let's actually talk about the planets now, okay? Here's a snapshot of the houses. And again, just to review real quick about the house sizes. This is actually a very balanced chart. It's just only a few degrees off from being balanced. Straight across, okay. But the smaller houses, such as, I mean, you don't really have many small houses. Here's one small house that's probably about 25 degrees. So, to give you an idea about pre-birth needs, the sixth house and the 12th house would be considered a difficulty in this lifetime. So the larger houses, such as the ninth house and the third house, It's probably more like 35 to 40 degrees. We aim to increase the size of the houses in 6 and 12 in these areas of life, like the characteristics of the sixth house, which is work and routine and serving others and habits. And so that might be a little more difficulty, be more of a difficulty than the third house, which is a lot larger, the communication house, the mental body house, the left brain house. Okay. All right, let's go to the chart. Here's a snapshot for your subconscious on all the aspects that are shining forth through you in symbol format, which include the four major asteroids, the North Node, the South Node, the Black Moon. So we're not going to go over all of these aspects, but we can see how the right side of this chart has more planetary forces playing through the second and third quadrant. Now, here's the chart we're going to talk about today. And what we have are, I thought I had, let's see. Let me see something real quick. No. Okay. Okay. We'll talk about vibrational astrology after this. We're just going to go through each quadrant along with the planetary archetype, briefly talk about how the quadrant system works. Okay. So here we have your first quadrant, and the cusp of the first quadrant is your ascendant, which is Virgo. All right. So Virgo has a, the first quadrant is ruled by Virgo, and his primary focus is to develop, to his primary focus is to work on personal development. The first house is first, you got to grow a physical body. So this is from like age 0 to probably age 10. Okay. The second house is an area of life where you're going to grow the emotional body. So age, well, I didn't do the math, but it's estimated that it'll probably be from age 10 to age 19. Okay. And then from in the third house is the development of the mental body. Now you have a lot of planetary forces in this third house to help accomplish these pre-birth intentions and pre-birth needs within this lifetime. Okay. So the goal is to understand why in prior to incarnating and in this lifetime, the planets were placed in these particular locations within your vibration. Okay. So let's just talk about the first planet, which is the moon. Okay. Well, before we get started on the moon, there's something important that I like to talk about when it comes to the quadrant system. With Virgo being the ruler of the first quadrant, because it is the cusp, okay? Keep in mind that whenever they're is difficulty in any type of personal development. Okay. This is just generically speaking, but it's important to understand how the symbols work together and relate to your own life experience. So if there's some difficulties when it comes to personal development, okay, know that Virgo is ruled by Mercury. All right. The ruling planet assigned to Virgo is Mercury. So if there are times when you feel unbalanced, when it's related to personal development, now that we know where your Mercury is located, then you can meditate and focus on Mercury's location, which is in Aries, seventh house, the social development quadrant, and then use the Aries expressions and the Mercurian qualities, okay? Primarily focusing on the higher influences of Mercury, and also in the area of life of the seventh house, right? The seventh house characteristics. By doing this, by if you're struggling with the emotional aspect of yourself, the emotional body, okay, which is the second house within the first quadrant, then we can focus on Mercury. All right, let Mercury play out. And when we get around to going to all the planets, we'll talk about Mercury in Aries and use those type of expressions for your life experience. And then your personal development quadrant will begin to balance back out. Because that's what we're all doing. We're all seeking to balance our lives with the vibration that we carry into this lifetime. It's gonna appear different for each and every one of us. Okay. Balance for each and every one of us is gonna look different. All right. We may resonate with others and how they balance their life or view it as balanced, but it doesn't mean that it is balanced. Again, it's just a perspective or an opinion. But let's talk about the moon. Moon in Sagittarius. So this moon in Sagittarius is actually very generous and enjoys friends. So that's going to be very important for the personal development and your growth. So there's a tendency to try to cheer up others. There might be some uncomfortableness with those who appear melancholy or sad, or bring that energy in to within your sphere of consciousness. So you may even avoid others when too much emotions are involved. But you definitely seek emotional freedom. Moon in Sagittarius, which creates habits, okay? There's going to be this seeking of emotional freedom, especially in the third house. That's the mental body house, right? The moon will most likely use the mental body to attempt to balance out the emotional states. But the moon in the third house also has a tendency to make decisions for personal reasons because of habit of doing it your way, uncomfortable with changing or doing it for others sometimes. All right. Because again, feelings influence your thoughts. It's a mental house, it's a mental body house, it's the communication house. Now, going back to the Midheaven and the Nadir, this Gemini Sagittarius axis. Right. This is trouble. Right here. Okay, so here's the balance between the third and the ninth house. Gemini works with Sagittarius, Sagittarius works with Gemini. But know that because of your previous lifetimes, the Sagittarius Gemini axis will reveal that it's easy for you to relearn knowledge and information. Okay? Experiences and your current life experiences and study can awaken previous lifetime information in your subconscious. And it will unfold to a conscious level. You have to trust it. Okay? You have to be confident and not doubt your intelligence, like what we talked about earlier with your ascendant. And there was a lot of traveling in your previous lifetimes. Okay. There's a tendency to repeat a lot of patterns also. So in this lifetime, there's going to be that urge to travel and expand perspective, your perspective, and all that's great. That's gonna work out well for you. There's a strong desire for wisdom, and eventually, if not now, you'll make an excellent teacher. This Sagittarius Gemini axis is actually a symbol for this. Okay. There's also this strong concept for devotion, but there's also this passion for freedom. Okay. It's like this tug and this pull, back and forth pull between devotion and wanting to be free. All right. With also this axis, we can know that your sun sign reveals that because of your previous lifetimes, that in this life, you'll use your intelligence to become a leader in this lifetime. All right. Aries is a zodiac sign of leadership. So there's been prior lifetimes that has frustrating circumstances that were played out and lived out as a follower. And now it's time to lead. We can see it with the 29 degrees ascendant, 28 degrees nadir, 29 degrees descendant, and then 28 degrees midheaven, especially with the zodiac sign placements. Okay. And once this tipping point becomes a reality, then your ascendant becomes Libra. Okay. Not in this lifetime, or it's all about balance, right? Your ascendant is Virgo, but once you know yourself and accept yourself, then you become all the zodiac signs and you have all this space that's created and this freedom, and everything will just naturally play out from the pre-incarnated script that you created to become this leader in this lifetime. Okay? So know that there might be this burst of nervous energy. And don't push yourself too hard because, for overall health reasons, just aim for balance. All right. Now, let's move on to Pluto in your third house. You got Pluto and Sagittarius. And again, this is symbol. Pluto in the third house, Pluto in Sagittarius, is symbol for a need, a strong need for freedom. Pluto is your source of power in this lifetime. Okay? You're very inclined for grandiose plans and exploring new opportunities and possibilities. Within you, there's this strong desire to push barriers. And in fact, I mean, we can look at it as this. Pluto goes around the sun in our solar system every 284 years. Okay. So Pluto and Sagittarius, right now, these souls that are here, including this chart, are here pushing barriers, sort of like the adventuring into the new frontier of humanity and humanity's growth. So in 284 years, whatever souls incarnate during that era and during that cycle, most likely they'll be the souls that will be physically exploring outer space and pushing barriers to a new frontier, right? That's the kind of grandiose plan that Pluto and Sagittarius brings to this chart, okay? It's innately in the vibration that you carry in this lifetime. Now, Pluto in the third house likes to probe, okay? It's a very penetrating mental body, highly analytical and very critical, a very critical thinker, loves to investigate mysteries and enjoys deep study. And Pluto also in the third house is symbol for becoming a very convincing speaker. Like convincing others of your point of view, good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter, but very convincing speaker. Okay. Now, moving on to Mars. Mars loves the fire signs. Okay. Mars and Sagittarius, very aspiring, always following a bright, distant star. So, again, working with Pluto. Only 9 degrees off. These two forces are here to propel you into this leadership role in this lifetime. Okay. I'm gonna use that the following the bright distant star as an analogy for the soul came into this lifetime. And it might be in the second part of your life where you become this predominant leader. Okay. So Mars and Sagittarius aims high and it doesn't settle with simple and quiet. Okay. Also, it stretches limits. A very positive thinker bounces back from disappointment quickly. Tendency to get distracted by too many things, though, but can develop commitment, perseverance, and persistence with expanded awareness of self. Okay. And some of the things that Mars and Sagittarius enjoys is definitely being competitive, enjoys competition, even if it's watching or playing sports. The energy that sports bring to spectators and the players. Mars and Sagittarius really enjoys that. Also, Mars in the third house, since it's a communication house, very quick-witted, sharp tongue, and you may even enjoy arguments, right? Challenging mental work is good for your aggressive intellect. All right. Yeah, that's key. For Mars in the third house. Most likely you'll never get bored unless you're limited in some way. Okay. But Pluto's there to help you push limits, break the barriers. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the second quadrant. Real quick also. As you see, there's tarot cards. Now, with your Virgo ascendant, Virgo is a sign to key 9, the hermit. All right. And as you can see, the hermit, white beard, standing on an icy mountain peak, alone. The darkness in the back just means that he stands at the top with a lot of wisdom, but he's shining forth a light to those also below his travels. Mountain is symbol for reaching a peak of intelligence and wisdom. Okay. This is the Divine Father. This is another good symbol for you to meditate on, especially with the intellect being predominantly symbolic in this chart. All right. So Mercury, Virgo, and Key 9 are great to meditate on for personal development. And all the symbols within tarot, try not to put importance on it that much. It's great if you can spend time and study it, but just the visual of Key 9, your subconscious already knows it. And if you remember, I said earlier in this recording that there'll be experiences and studies that you'll have in this life that will activate within you previous lifetime knowledge, wisdom, intellect. So your intuitional powers, I'll just call it your intuition will grow stronger. And so it's a matter of training your mind to trust this information that unravels and unfolds within a conscious level. So I highly recommend looking at the tarot cards and knowing the re now that I'm showing you the relationships and the categories within your chart, we can know that Key 9, the Hermit, is a great symbol for personal development. Okay. All right. Let's talk about, let's see here. Let's talk about Neptune in Aquarius. All right, now we're in your family development quadrant. And before we talk about Neptune, the cusp of your family development in this lifetime is ruled by Sagittarius. Okay? 28 degrees. The ruling planet for Sagittarius is Jupiter. So, just to keep it simple, whenever there are difficulties or if you feel imbalanced when it comes to family development, know that you can, let me erase this, you can focus on Jupiter in your ninth house of Gemini. So, Gemini expressions, Jupiter qualities and expressions and attributions within the ninth house area of life, which will help with your family development. Okay? That's the symbol. Now, let's talk about Pluto in your fifth house. One more thing. Let me back up one more time. Sagittarius is assigned to key 14 in tarot, okay? Temperance. And here we can see that we have this guardian angel who is mixing water with fire. He has one foot on land. This guardian angel is symbolic for balance and mixing the mixing your vibration with test, we'll call it test and trials, which are will be your experiences and how you respond to them. Okay. But always know that with key 14 temperance, it's symbolic for the rainbow of promise that's sent behind the angel. Okay. That you're always taken care of, always learning in all moments. All right. Behind the guardian angel, there's this golden path from the water that goes up through the mountains. And here's a crown. Okay. And that's where eventually and inevitably we all end up at. Okay. Let's talk about Neptune in the fifth house. You got Neptune and Aquarius in the fifth house. So you're very mystical, right? Don't doubt it. You're very mystical. You have this Neptune in Aquarius doesn't really follow religious and philosophy ideas unless it appeals to your own sense of logic and reason. Okay? But with this Neptune in Aquarius, it sort of blurs science and mysticism together, and there's this progressive imagination that occurs within yourself. So, Neptune in the fifth house also is symbol for a very creative self-expression and imagination. Okay. Enjoys the glamorous fantasies that has little to do with reality. That's what Neptune will express. And it's probably there to help you with this because as a Neptune is there to, in the beginning, it might appear as like a delusional state, but the higher aspect of Neptune is the higher aspect of spirituality. Okay. The mysticism will come forth and unfold. All right, so we have Uranus now in Aquarius. Now Uranus loves being an Aquarius, right? It's exalted. And that just means it's amplified. So you have a very bright self-expression. Okay. You have this increased capacity to cooperate and communicate with others in the world and around you for progressive matters. All right. And again, the theme in this lifetime, there's this strong leadership quality. With the Pluto and Mars in your third house and breaking through barriers, Uranus in your fifth house is also concerned with barriers. So it will enjoy creating relationship with others who benefit the whole, okay? Benefit the community and humanity, right? Gonna push through those barriers for the greater good. Now, also Uranus in the fifth house, the self-expression house, there's this crazy sense of humor that gets a little wild sometimes, right? For fun, right? Especially with all the fire placements, that air sign of Aquarius with Uranus is going to blow on that fire and make that flame higher that's within you. So there's you enjoy the element of surprise and the unpredictability, adventure, especially with Sagittarius in your third house. Uranus will most likely, I took out the aspects between the planets, so we can just talk about the planets, but there's probably a lot of trines here. And you may choose unstable love partners. Okay, Uranus likes to shake things up and create chaos and then go in and organize chaos. With you being an Aries, we'll talk about relationships next when we get up to the seventh house. But Uranus, some of the people that will be attracted to you and you'll be attracted to them, they will not be very boring. They will not be, let's say, they will not be, you'll have a tendency to get bored with someone quickly and know it and then move on. There really is no, with Uranus here in your fifth house, self-expression, the friendships, the love partners that you attract will be very exciting. Okay. All right. So that's your family development house. Now, these two planets are going to help with this quadrant. And whatever family development that is established in this lifetime is going to benefit your whole, okay, this whole chart, right? Now, family for this chart doesn't really scream out married for 50 years and white picket fence, the traditional sense of marriage, but it's all symbol, okay? We actually choose how we want to live our life. All right, let's move on to the third quadrant. Here we have your Pisces as the descendant, okay? Pisces is assigned to key 18, the moon. All right. Can use key 18 to contemplate on by just staring at the image. 5, 10 minutes is going to do wonders for your subconscious. All right. You may have aha moments and revelations a day or a week later that could be stemmed from just looking at these tarot cards. Right? The conscious mind doesn't have to make sense of them. It helps, but it doesn't. It's not a requirement. So know that Pisces is assigned to key 18, and the ruling planet for Pisces is Neptune. All right. The higher octave planetary ruler for Pisces is Neptune. Traditionally, it was Jupiter. Now, if in social development you begin to experience some unbalance, okay, generically speaking, find Neptune. We've already talked about it, and begin to focus on expressing yourself in a Neptunian, Aquarian way with the area of fifth house expressions. Okay? That's for your conscious mind to know. All right. Now, social development, the third quadrant. It's got five planets. So there's a lot of energy in this quadrant. And that's to say, at previous lifetimes where leadership roles were not as available, but the urge and push, well, let's say they were available, but stepping into those roles didn't happen, or if they did, it wasn't exactly how the soul wanted it to play out. So now we have unfinished business. We can call it unfinished soul business spilling over into this lifetime with these five planets in social development. It's basically screaming out that step into that leadership role, and you have a lot of energy and support there to support you. Okay. But we'll begin with Venus. Okay. Just know Neptune. Pisces is the ruler of the third quadrant, and Neptune is the ruling planet of Pisces. So with Venus in Aries and in the seventh house, so you have love feelings that are easily aroused, but may have difficulty sustaining romantic interests in relationships. Okay, short could be short-lived. That's okay. That's your vibration. That's your energy. That's why it's important to know thyself and not create judgments of self and deny self and wrap these stories of focusing on wrong on how we want to express ourselves. If it feels normal to have 30 failed relationships, then that's fine. No judgment. Or just know that the initial and exciting chase and conquest for love partners is going to be there, right? You're going to enjoy that dynamic and strong independent partner who doesn't like too much peace and predictability in the love area, because this is a marriage house. Now, we can also view it as business partners and friendships, but as for that male or female counterpart in a love relationship, you're gonna want to see sparks fly. You're gonna want that exciting dynamic energy in that relationship. Okay, so you're actually a very personable friend also with that Venus in the seventh house, and you'll always have many people in your life who cherish you. So plenty of opportunities are going to come, and it's just Venus in the seventh house prefers being with others rather than alone, even though part of your vibration, a lot of your vibration, will desire to be alone in order to really activate a lot of that intellect and wisdom that's already within your subconscious and bring it forth into this lifetime. But Venus doesn't really like to be alone when it's in the seventh house. But also, Venus is sort of a peacemaker between relationships. So your Venus in the seventh house will make you very adaptable, and harmony may be influenced in a way. So you'll be very charmful. Okay, Aries, Venus. All right, so that's enough about Venus. Let's go on to, let me erase the marks. Let's move on to Mercury. Mercury in Aries. Now we talked about how your first quadrant and is personal development and how the ruling planet is Mercury. Okay? Mercury is assigned to Virgo. Virgo is assigned to key nine. With Mercury in Aries, you're very outspoken and direct. Okay, you're eager to express your ideas and your opinions. You're very honest. In fact, you speak convincingly about things you believe in, and you're really unable to pretend to agree with someone if you honestly do not agree with them. All right. There might be a little bit of some people who are intimidated by this aspect of you, but it also draws people towards you because they may want to be able to express themselves the way you do in a very honest and your attempt to be as clear as possible. And you love getting and giving feedback to others. You love sharing information. You're attracted to intelligent and verbal people who you can learn from. All right. And you love an audience to hear your ideas. This will be very important for your personal development and your personal growth. I can see why Mercury's in your social development house. The weight of this planetary archetype is very strong. In fact, the, let's see, the balance between the Mercurian archetype is you'll creatively find solution to sticky situations and of getting out of hard situations without lying, without cheating, without stealing. So you have that going for you. That's going to be great for your personal development and as you step into that leadership role. All right. And there's the out of balance aspect of Mercury, which is basically you lie, cheat, and steal, right? Or you're deceitful towards others. Now let's move on to your sun sign in Aries, right? All right. So this is important. You're an Aries. All right. Your sun's at 22 degrees in the seventh house. Relationships are going to be very important for you in this lifetime. The sun in Aries, this is your self-image. Okay. So your ascendant is going to work on balancing with your sun sign in Aries on how you carry yourself on day to day in this life. But the sun in Aries, it thrives on challenges. It really does. It almost feels like you battle your way through life. Okay. Now, this is going to depend on your inner strength. All right. In fact, a lot of your choices depends on your inner strength and your intelligence and your courage. You believe in being totally honest, just like what we talked about. Being true to yourself. Integrity. Integrity is very, very important, very predominant in your life. And there's this other aspect of yourself with the sun in Aries that lacks sympathy for weakness of character in others. All right. It's not so much a as a unhealthy judgment, it's just you'll be able to spot it. You'll be able to see this weakness in character on others. Because the reason why is because you've already experienced it. Okay, you're able to discern. And this could be in previous lifetimes or even early in life, because in this life, because you're an Aries. Early in life, you are already learning through personal development your weaknesses. And then eventually you grow stronger and outgrow these weaknesses and create strengths. Okay. So that's why you're able to spot these weaknesses. Now, the compassion may be a challenge, but then again, it might not be. But always know that Aries craves freedom, right? Wants to take action, make things happen. And cooperating with others or carrying out their personal will is not your style. Aries wants to carry out their will. So Be true to yourself and know yourself well enough where you can carry your vibration through all your experiences. And Aries also likes to stir things up in environments if they get too comfortable, right? Very spontaneous and impulsive. There's a tremendous amount of creative energy that goes into your relationships, this area of life, the seventh house, particularly love partners and close relationships. But you actually prefer, well, a sun in the seventh house would prefer to work one-to-one with others, and that brings satisfaction and can really excel when it comes to social development in this area, working that one-to-one, because the focus that's involved on the other individual and the other individual focus back, big this could be a great opportunity for social development, which will spill over into personal development. But know that the deepest need for Aries is to take action. The defects that some of the defects that Aries will experience is impatience, a selfish approach, recklessness, being stubborn, like stubbornness. But there are some great qualities that will be experienced, such as being courageous, enthusiastic, generous, and of course, leadership. Aries are normally natural born leaders. A quality most needed for balance would be to have caution, like create some pause, create a little bit of in between choices and doing something. So a little bit of caution before taking action, because we don't want to create a bomb in that area of life that we're focused on, right? Aries like to do it their way. Burn it down could be some unseen consequences from moving too quickly. So really the life lesson would be to develop some patience and moderation and to understand that your power can increase when working with others. Aries in the seventh house. All right. You have Saturn in Taurus. Saturn's very important when it comes to the placement, because it reveals a big clue from previous lifetimes. We can actually look at the Saturn. We can look at the Saturn axis, which would be, let's see, yeah, this is it. Taurus, not the Saturn axis, but the Taurus Scorpio axis in this chart. But know that Saturn in Taurus will overvalue or undervalue possessions. Can be an extremist with body needs and desires, can even be stingy, unable to give freely. Saturn in Taurus may feel that you don't have enough to make you feel secure, regardless of how much finances are available or not available. All right, there's that sluggishness. That fixed earth that Taurus represents. Now, Saturn in the ninth house also has this attitude towards religion, philosophy, and politics, which can be very narrow and in a conservative way. You may require proof for any idea that's presented to you, and you may cling to your grand philosophical or metaphysical beliefs and opinions. And Saturn in Taurus also normally has a very serious outlook on life. Okay. With this Saturn Scorpio axis, there are some virtues that normally get overlooked with Saturn. Saturn brings discipline, brings concentration, ambition, perseverance, and also to take responsibility for ourself. Okay, a lot of people have difficulty taking responsibility for themselves. And Saturn is actually here to help us with taking responsibility. And that's nothing more than knowing thyself, accepting ourself, and becoming the creator. That's it. But it takes work. Now, this Saturn Scorpio balance, there's going to be this desire to recapture previous lifetime power because Saturn's within this relationship. Okay. And that fixed Earth is the only Earth sign that you have, it's the only masculine principle. Feminine principle within this chart. We have nine planets that are in fire and earth, which is the masculine principle. Zero planets in water, one planet in earth, the two feminine aspects, the two feminine elementals. So Saturn is also symbol for the Divine Mother. And here we have Saturn providing limitations within certain areas of your life so that this masculine active principle can push you into that leadership role. Okay. So Saturn will naturally create it where you fall into a position of power. Okay? It's inevitable. You might experience and feel restrictions, frustrations, even jealousies, or there's these intense feelings of being blocked. That's Saturn working with you in order to catapult you up into this position of power. All right. Now, one way to work with these intense feelings or these frustrations, that's going to be a big one. With this chart, frustrations are going to be very common and may occur very often, but we can use these frustrations for the benefit of the good. And one way of doing that is to channel the frustration energies of Saturn through Scorpio. Down here, second house, personal development. And the way to do that is by learning and knowing the second house area of life qualities, which is self-value, self-worth, and possessions, personal possessions, your self-worth is going to be very important. Your self-esteem, all of this can be channeled through your Scorpio zodiac sign. Okay? This will give you the opportunity to gain more control in a more covert way of means, right? You'll be able to be more covert than overt. All right, because it's all about balance. It really is. And Saturn is going to use this fixed Earth sign of Taurus, which is symbol for a bull and pushes forward very slowly, very fixed. But Scorpio is fixed water, emotional depth. Okay. So I suggest to work on contemplating on how to channel Saturn through your Scorpio in the second house. All right. To build up that covert type of muscle that actually benefits your personal development. Not talking about taking advantage of anybody. We're talking about ways for your social development and personal development to come within balance and allow you to reach the highest potential for your own soul growth. Right? All right, let's talk about Jupiter in Gemini. It's also in the ninth house. Now, Jupiter and Gemini, you'll have the ability to see connections and bring them together. That's going to be great for your social development. And you'll excel in any field that requires clear intellect or verbal skills. Now, Jupiter's going to make sure that you satisfy your mental stimulation, okay? Because you have a very active mind. Jupiter and Gemini, very active mind. And Jupiter in the ninth house also means that you're very open-minded, okay? This relationship between Sagittarius and Gemini, the ninth house is home of Sagittarius. The third house is home of Gemini. They're flipped. Okay. So this is an interesting balance that's happening here. All these leadership qualities are just shining forth and waiting for the, or actually presenting you the possibilities and probabilities for this role to step into. Okay. So, and some of the things that Jupiter and Gemini in the ninth house will help with is your curiosity about distant places and ways of living that are different from your own. Okay. That's gonna push barriers within you, and your outside's gonna reflect it. You're gonna have this urge to travel widely and experience much of the world. And by contacting other cultures will benefit you. You'll learn quickly. And a lot of that previous lifetime knowledge and wisdom will unfold a lot faster with this speaking with other cultures and traveling and seeing the world. Okay. Now, as for career development, we can see there's no planets. And we can also see that there is really only one small house that's less than 30 degrees. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have a career or work on career development. Remember, all these planet placements are here to work together and build upon your personal development, your family development, your social development, and your career development. It's not as black and white as it may seem if there's no planets in the career development. You can have any career you want. Most likely it'll be teacher, leader, some kind of role where you're in the middle of it and taking charge, or you this strong desire to pass on knowledge and wisdom is gonna create opportunities within your career development for you. Now, most likely you won't stay in a career very long. You'll sort of use them as stepping stones to get to where you're going. Because with your very open and active mind and mental body, that's very strong, it's inevitable that you'll reach a glass ceiling, or you'll get bored with certain areas in career development, and you'll be ready to move on to new opportunities. You're in Aries, okay? New, 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 new. It's screaming out in this chart. Gemini rules the fourth quadrant, okay, at 28 degrees. So, with Gemini being the ruler of your fourth quadrant, we can look at key six in tarot. Gemini is assigned to key six. Whenever you, generically speaking, feel like you're unbalanced in your career development, we can reference key six in tarot. And also, just as Virgo, I mean, excuse me, just as Mercury rules, is the ruling planet for Virgo, Mercury is also the ruling planet for Gemini. So that goes back to the same as with the first quadrant. Okay. First quadrant, we said reference Mercury for your personal development. When it comes to career development, your midheaven, reference Mercury. Okay. Very, 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 very powerful mental, intellectual chart. All right. Surround yourself with the right people, which you may not have much of a choice, as your fire and air is going to carry you through this life and has and will. Or will and has prepared you for leadership roles and whatever it may be. Try to not, here's the thing with our human mind. Try not to, try not to let the mind dictate what's gonna happen. With your Jupiter in the ninth house, like what we talked about, you're very open-minded. There's going to be this tendency to push forward, but try to remember to remain open to whatever the universe, whatever spirit has prepared for you. It's just a matter of making yourself available. Limitations are going to create that frustration within you that eventually will sort of flick you into the next cycle within this life, or cycles. We go through many cycles, many lives, and many li we live and die, live and die, live and die, little births, little deaths, little births, little deaths. And so these cycles that you'll end, and then new cycles will begin. Try to remain open. Okay. You also enjoy surprise energy. Okay. So the universe probably has a bunch of su surprises lined up that your mind, it's normal for the human mind to not want to step into the unknown or not step into that uncomfortable, not knowing. Right, the mind wants to know everything and fill in the gaps and feel comfortable and predict. And then, well, that might be a challenge for you, because but then again, it might not be. The importance is to let your mind be the foundation with all the knowledge for that Sagittarian influx to come through, which will be more intuitional driven. Okay. All right. Let's move on to vibrational astrology. I talked a little bit about it earlier. And so what I do with vibrational astrology is I take your natal chart, I multiply all the angles between all the planets by the vibration itself, which magnifies orbs and of any aspect, So these orbs that are created are ranked from 1 to 360 because our chart is 360 degrees, right? Now, the first vibration, the first harmonic is your natal chart. And then 2 all the way to 360 can represent the other harmonics within that vibration. Your strongest harmonic is the 68th vibration, and it's introspective, creative solitude, just to create a label for the characteristics. And you can see that you have a deep creative mastery with a powerful internal drive. That explains a lot with what we talked about already. And you have this need, this balance to solitude, and have this ambition to do meaningful work and refining your vision with discipline and purpose. Okay. And you can read the rest of the characteristics, but know that you're very mystical. And we talked about it. Down here at the bottom, you're going to be attracted to beyond the ordinary perceptions, which is going to make you an interesting person. Okay. We all have our spirit guides and our spirit team, and we're all being guided. But with your, this is your 68th harmonic chart on this slide. We can see very clearly how you have a lot of squares that are lined up with your Mercury and Mars in Pisces, okay? Mysticism. So you have all these planets creating these inner, well, they're types of inner conflict, but they're going to impact you in a way where your perception and your awareness is expanded rapidly with your open-mindedness, right? We talked about that with your Jupiter and Gemini. Occultism could be a great way to bring forth a lot of those previous lifetimes of knowledge and wisdom that's already established in your subconscious. Bring it into this lifetime. Okay. And then you'll create practical applications to use it in day-to-day life, right? To bring spiritual wisdom into real-world performance. And then finally, I wanted to show your temperament, okay? Your temperament doesn't change. You have a very active temperament. So your projective qualities are primarily fire and air. It's important that you understand this because this is who you are while in this lifetime. All right. You have one feminine receptive quality. So you have the ability to go forth and create changes with your psychic mastery that's in your subconscious. But it's, remember we talked about how you'll have to work on not creating these stories from habits in early childhood, these stories that are wrapped around these habits and these patterns that are not true. Okay, to actually not believe these stories that create doubt and we get trapped in these habits, you'll be able to move forward quickly as soon as you're able to identify any kind of self-denial, stories that include self-denial, doubt, self-judgment, when we catch ourselves focusing on the wrong, okay, such as I am not worthy, That's wrong. I am worthy, right? You're Aries. I am. That's first house, the creator. I am. The creator is always saying, I am. That should resonate very strongly with you right now. But you have a 9-1 elemental temperament. Okay. Doesn't mean you're more masculine in a earthy male way. These are the energies, the positive polarity and the negative polarity within you that are carrying your vibration to this lifetime. Now, also, and finally, then we'll end your 68th harmonic. It has a minor arcana assigned to it, which is the Five of Cups. This is a water sign. This is interesting because we're talking about all this fire and air that your temperament that is really your sort of your personality, the vibration you carry. We have the Lord of Loss and Pleasure. Now, that doesn't sound too great, but we're talking about the power within you. Remember we were talking about that power, that your sun sign? You have a lot of power that is within you that's not being acknowledged. So know that the emotional impact of disappointments, which results in an inability to appreciate what remains. All right. So maybe that goes back to focusing on the wrong. We don't want to focus on the wrong. In that moment when there might seem to be a disappointment, let's slow down, look around, and be grateful for what is there in that moment, and then shine light on it. Okay? Because the past, our memories, is really our enemy. We want to move beyond the past and grow from the past and unfold what is coming from the, or that's going to create the appropriate choices for us to make the for the here and now. So you want to see beyond immediate losses and recognize potentialities for new beginnings. It's very Aries. Aries is all about beginning. And to have clarity before moving forward again, which imposes mental and spiritual peace. So, solitude, sit with self, sit with yourself. That's going to fuel the learning and inquisitive nature drives that are meaningful dialogues, and you'll turn it into practical application because you'll have it. You have exceptional concentration abilities, but even though we saw earlier with, I think it was Jupiter and Sagittarius, your mind's always moving and it's constantly thinking. Well, if you're able to focus, and I teach this in tarot, but through symbols, if you're able to focus all those many thoughts onto one particular area of self, okay, that's what we're really doing, then that area of life will open up where your concentration abilities will be exceptional and you'll be able to do and be anything. All right. You'll be the bridge from the unseen world to the tangible world. And I'm going to end it with that. It was fun reading your chart, and hopefully, it was helpful. Let me stop sharing. Yeah, I really enjoyed reading charts like yours because there's a lot of fire and air. But know also that this chart doesn't define who you are, right? The divine spark within us all. We can be anything and do anything we want. It's a matter of identifying these habits that were created in this earthy life with this earthy mind, with our earthy stories that wrap around, that we've got to be able to identify, acknowledge, and integrate within us. We can embody a lot of these what we call character defects, okay? They're really learning moments. All right, there are no mistakes. We learn from our choices, we create experiences which create new experiences, and then we just slowly grow. I say slowly because I'm thinking in linear earthy terms to what we are to become. All right. Thank you.